you get an outline that would like one? And finish, finally, finish the book of Philippians this evening. I wasn't sure when we started, only four chapters, how many lessons we'd get out of this, but this is number 13. No. Who would have thought?
You just don't know how to come to a conclusion.
I just don't know how to conclude a lesson, I guess. Well, number 13. I don't need an introduction, I need a conclusion. So we're on chapter 4, the last chapter of the book, beginning at verse 10. I'm going to finish, beginning at verse 10, finish the chapter. Title: The Lesson I Have Learned. And as we go through this reading, you can see in your notes that first of all, Paul's basis for contentment wasn't dependent on the place he was at. One other thing that affected his contentment was the power, and then the people, and last, the promise. So here's the text. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things. That's an interesting phrase. Everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I'm full. I want to stop. I say, Paul, you're in prison. You're in prison, Paul. So he says again in verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. All right. Well, let's go through the notes and back through the text. Just by definition, and you've heard me say before, when I look at definitions, they not only give us the sense of the word or the meaning of the word, but many times it makes the application for us too. So when you think about the word learned, it means acquired knowledge of or a skill in by study or experience. To be instructed in. Suppose that I've learned some things. That's our lesson tonight. I've learned. Then the content. W. E. Vine, who has the book out, Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, defines content this way: primarily signifies to be sufficient. I'm content. To be possessed of sufficient strength. I'm content. I can get through this. To be strong. To be enough for a thing. Self-sufficient. Adequate. Needing no assistance. Satisfaction with what one has. man named Charles Kelly, in the notes on Philippians, gave this definition. Christian contentment is the God-given ability to be satisfied with the loving provision of God in any and every situation. So I just made an added comment. So contentment is both an independent and a dependent quality. In other words, I'm in this situation, I'm content. Not that I don't want to get out of this situation, but if I can't change the circumstance, I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to be content with the situation I'm in. But certainly I'm going to do everything, if it's a bad, horrible situation, to strive to get out of it. Then in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. So I put in your notes the basis for contentment, Paul's contentment, at least in this section of the letter, based on four things. Four things. Number one is the place. He said, in whatever state, and everywhere, and in all things. Wow. In whatever state I'm in. I look at that, I think, you evidently, Paul was not from Texas. Because I've never known a Texan who was content to be in any other state but Texas. Someone from Texas leaves Texas, they always want to go back. I've heard a lot of people say they want to go back to their own state except for the Texans. So. But Paul says, first of all, knows how to be abased. Learn to be hungry. To suffer need. Wow. I just put in your notes a few things about Paul's life. In Acts 14, at Lystra, they stoned him and dragged him out of the city. Well, you certainly know how to be content in some horrible situations. You were dragged out of the city. Stoned. Chapter 16, they laid many stripes on him. Paul and Silas threw him into prison. You've learned to be content in that kind of situation. Chapter 20, verse 3, the Jews plotted against him. Wow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4, Paul writes to the brethren there, and he says, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. Wow. When I think about, if I were going to characterize my life, my list wouldn't be that long. No. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, for indeed when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Wow. And then in chapter 11, verses 23 through 33, there's 10 verses where Paul just gives a list of all the perils he's been in. And then at the close of that list, he says that besides that, all of these things were the outward situations that beat on his body. And at the very end, he says, and besides all that, the care for the churches. Oh, that's right. So he says, I know how. Yeah. I've learned to be content. Not necessarily content. Or he could be content in these situations. He didn't say he was content with those situations. Now, there are some situations we just don't want to last. I could be content if I broke a leg and had a cast on it for a while. I don't want to live the rest of my life with that cast. But there are situations or circumstances in life that we can't change. So Paul said, I had to learn when it comes to the things that I can't change to change me. To learn to live with it. To know how. He said. The idea, I think, is here is just don't let your horrible situations lead you to crime or thievery. So be content in that situation. I saw in one of my books, the author said, a man came to Socrates and asked him about the unhappiness of a friend. I have an unhappy friend. Socrates answered, trouble with that man is that he takes himself with him wherever he goes. So he's going to be unhappy no matter where he is. We sometimes think, boy, if I could just live over there, I'd be happy. Then the next section in this, I'm still on point number one, I know how to abound. To be full. Acts 16, Lydia says she begged us to stay. Saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. She persuaded them. So Paul says, yeah, I had some hard times, but I've had some good times too. With the jailer at Philippi. He washed their stripes. When he brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced. I know how to be. I enjoy when it's time to abound. In chapter 28, verse 1, after he suffered shipwreck, it says, now when they had escaped safely to land, the island of Malta, the natives showed us unusual kindness, kindled a fire, made us all welcome. Paul says, when I think back in my life, when he's writing to these brethren in Philippi, yeah, I know the hard times I've been in, but I also know the good times too. I've learned in whatever state, everywhere and in all things, to be content. Wow. Paul writes to Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and certainly we carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. In other words, if our needs are met, we'll be content and live with that. Paul he continues in writing to those who are abounding, meaning those who have been very successful. They have a treasure in their life, wealth. So in 1 Timothy 6:17, he says, command those who are rich in this present age, those who are abounding, who are full, says not to be haughty and not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That's right. When we abound, you can enjoy those things. He said, but let them do good. Be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So just as when you're in a poverty situation, don't let that lead you to thievery. When things abound, don't let that lead you to be stingy. We'll take the other way. Then number two, so Paul, you have the place. I can be content up or down. To learn that. But number two, where's the power come from to have that attitude? He says, I can do all things. Be abased and abound. I can do that. But it's through Christ who strengthens me. His contentment may be independent of his situation and his location. But it's definitely dependent on Christ. It's not a contentment because I'm in a place, but because I'm in a person. That's how the text began back in verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. That's where our rejoicing is. Not in our hardship or difficulty. We rejoice in the Lord, but we have to learn to live with the hardship or the difficulty. We have to learn that. The cause for rejoicing is in the relationship in the Lord, not in the circumstance. Number three, the people. Oh. So Paul commends them in the letter. He says, nevertheless, you've done well. He said, you know, no church. Shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So I just made a note concerning giving and receiving. You know, if I'm going to give, someone has to receive. There'll be time in your life and mine, it'll be time for me to give, there'll be a time for me to receive. If you're in a situation where you need to receive, let me give. Let me give. So number one is giving blesses the one who receives. That's obvious. I'm in need and you've given to me. Verse 14, Paul tells the brethren in Philippi, you shared in my distress. Verse 18, he says, indeed, I have all in abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the things that you sent. Ah, so giving blesses the one who receives. I needed that. Number two, giving blesses God. Verse 18, Paul says, you know, when you brethren in Philippi, when you gave to me, that was a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Interesting phrase. It's not the only time that phrase is used in the New Testament. In Ephesians 5, verse 2, Paul says, walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I didn't put these other verses in your notes, but that phrase, sweet-smelling aroma, had reference to the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament. In Genesis 8, verse 20, Noah, after the flood, built an altar to the Lord, offered burnt offerings on the altar, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma, a sacrifice. In Exodus 29, verse 18, you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It's a burnt offering to the Lord. It's a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Ezekiel 20, verse 41. I will accept you as a sweet aroma when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you've been scattered, meaning the return after they've been taken into exile. Paul says, oh, that'll be your sacrifice you've made. That'll smell good to me. In the New Testament, it's not the exact phrase, but the idea is there in Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service. So our sacrifice that we make blesses God. It's acceptable to Him when we do it the way He says. Then number three, the giving blesses the one who gives the gift. So Paul says in verse 14, you've done well in that you've shared in my distress. And in verse 17, he says, that fruit abounds to your account. Oh, it blesses you. Of course, then Jesus said, or Paul said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So there's an interesting phrase that Paul gave. He says, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you. Then there's three groups of people under the same thing. Paul, where'd you get your ability to be content? All of these areas? Because I can do this in any place and in any situation. The power comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and the people. You know, the brethren in Philippi. And now there's people that are there in Rome with him. They supplied strength or the ability for Paul to be content. First of all, he said, the brethren who are with me. That would include, and then you have to go to other writings, but even in the book of Philippians, Paul mentions Timothy. Other places, when he writes to Timothy, he mentions Luke is with him in Rome. Tychicus, Epaphroditus came, brought the supplies from Philippi. He's there. Aristarchus is present from Thessalonica. Epaphras is there from Colossae. And then there's some other delegates from Asiatic churches that are there with Paul in Rome. Wow, so he has people, the brethren that are here with me. It's interesting to observe how often Paul spoke of being with others in his ministry. It wasn't just him. But then in verse 22, he says, all the saints greet you. Boy, there's a whole list of them in Romans chapter 16. When he closes out his letter, when he's coming to Rome, he already knew there was a congregation there, and he says, greet these people. So when Paul's now in a prison in Rome, all these saints greet you. And then the third group is the, especially those who are of Caesar's household. Maybe a reference back to chapter 1, verse 12. So I want you to know, brethren, the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So when Paul was allowed to receive people and teach and preach, the guards that were there, no doubt Paul gave them information about Christ and the kingdom. And there was a response. So there were saints, even in Caesar's household. The last point of, where we get contentment from is the promise. My God shall supply all your need. So I just put in your notes that Paul reminds the Philippians that the God who had cared for his needs through their loving concern would care for their needs when they trusted in him. Interesting phrase. My God, so it makes it personal, shall supply. It's positive. It's a promise on which we can depend. Paul didn't say God might do this. No, my God shall supply all your need. So now it's pointed. It's right at them. And then it's according to his riches in glory. So it's plentiful. Riches. There's no bigger need than God's supply. We want that. That's Paul's. That's where my strength is. By Christ Jesus. So it's powerful. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Luke 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You ever fill a cup up with something? We shake that, make sure you get all the everything in there. Yeah. And that's supposed to give, and it'll be given to you, giving and receiving. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. That's right. So that's the closing of Paul's letter to these brethren in Philippi. So he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm not sure what we'll have for next Sunday night, what direction we'll go. I wanted to preach, give a couple lessons on prayer. So may go that direction. I think Clarence has something in mind also. We'll just come back. you'll receive. Somebody will be up here to give. Now let's sing a song of invitation, a song of encouragement, number 902. So let's stand together when we sing this song. There may be one this evening that has a response in a public manner. You want to ask Brennan for strength or encouragement or prayers, or you want to obey that good news gospel message by being baptized. We can accomplish that. Just have to let that request be known, and we'll ask for that response at the close of this song. 902.